Oh, me? I tell you, ain't nothing like a young child get a feel and do something like that. I tell you what, if we as grown-ups was like unto that child and would speak our minds, I mean really speak our minds, I don't think the United States would not be in the shape it's in today. The United States would not be in the shape it's in today. I tell you. Thank you, Caleb. That was good.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Y'all turn to the book of Joshua tonight, chapter 14. The book of Joshua, chapter 14, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Joshua. That's the four Gospels, the five Gospels, which really, the word, I did. But you know, the way I look at it, it's not the full gospel. We got 66 books of the gospel. 66 books of the gospel. But I'm going to try to bring out a message tonight. I'm going to start speaking about Caleb tonight. And I didn't know you was going to be here. Brother Caleb.
Yep.
But you here.
Yep.
And guess what?
What?
You're going to be the top of the subject tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell your mama and your daddy both says they can be able to listen to the tape and it's going to be on air.
Well, I can only tell my daddy, but my mama's
going to
stay with the baby.
But I know, but it'll be on there next week.
She can
probably
tell me.
Right, okay. But no, we're going to be speaking about Caleb tonight in the book of Joshua. And, you know, this chapter right here, I mean, it's talking about a man, and speaking of a man right here, that I would love to be like. But, you know, it's impossible to me be like Caleb. It's impossible for me to be like Paul. It's impossible for me to be like John or any other individual. It's impossible for me to be that. Because the only one that I can be like is myself. That's just like you. You cannot, ladies, you cannot be like Ruth. You cannot be like Naomi. You cannot be like Elizabeth, and you cannot be like Esther or nothing. You have to be yourself. You cannot pattern your life after somebody else. You've got to pattern your own life with the conviction that God has given you. And that's the same way with us, men. We have to pattern ourselves with the conviction that God has given us, and the same convictions that I have may not work for you. And your convictions may not work with my lifestyle. But as long as we go by the Word of God, and as long as we stay to His Word and keep our conviction according to the Word of God, we're going to be okay. Now, I know myself, now some of you may can do it, but I cannot. Now, I know some other preachers, and I know some other people, some good people, good, fine Christian people, go to church every Sunday. They fear God. But they can go to the Red Lobster, they can go to Applebee's, and they can go to some of these places I hear to sell the alcoholic beverages. I've never have been in Red Lobster. I never have been in Outback. The only steakhouse that I've been in Danville is Western Sizzler. But see, that's my conviction. But if I went into Applebee's, I would feel guilty. I would feel guilty to the point that I would be thinking that I would be doing something wrong, sinning against God. But we have to come up with our own convictions. And I believe Caleb, right here, we can see where his conviction through the Word of God and through the Lord God that he loved, he stayed true to him. But here in chapter 14 in the book of Joshua, in verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kishonite said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was mine heart. Nevertheless, my children that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years. He's 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give this mountain whereon the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest, for thou hast heardest in that day, how the Anakims were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kishonite, unto this day, because that the holy followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kadabria, I ain't right, which Abab was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, Father, tonight, we just want to thank you, Father, that we was able to come this way. And Lord, and you showed me some things here in the book of Joshua. And Father, we pray, Lord, tonight, Lord God, that you would just help me to teach or preach what you've given me to say tonight, Father. But Father, I just want you to go do the preaching. I just want to be the mouthpiece, and I just, all the thing I can do is just volunteer my mouthpiece. But Father, you have to do the speaking through it, because I cannot do it alone. And Father, we want to thank you, we want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The name Caleb means wholehearted. Wholehearted. In his character, he was a true man of God in his heart. In his heart, he had character. And did you realize with that character, you cannot have no testimony? With that testimony, you cannot have no character. So people I hear that say, well, he's got character. What kind of testimony does he have? If he don't have a good testimony, he don't have a good character. Why? Because they're the ones that's not the honest type of people. But the people that has character and has a testimony, they're the type of people that you can trust on. You don't have to go and have no papers drawn up and no document to draw up for them to sign. All you have to do is just go and, like they did in the old days, and shake the hand. And what they tell you was it. Now today, we don't see many people anymore to have any character at all. From the White House all the way down to the State House, and even down into the government within the cities, in the counties, we see nobody that has character anymore. Because why? Because they don't have a testimony. But Caleb, he had a testimony. He had a testimony that he loved God. He had a testimony that he was going to serve God. And he was going to do what he had to do for God. Now you know the story right here where it says that Moses sent him out to spy out the land, to spy out the land. He went out and he spied out the land. And as he's out there spying out the land, he came back and he told Moses what he saw. And he gave Moses his testimony and what he saw. He told Moses exactly what was going on. And he said, Moses, we have to keep on doing the work. We have to do the work. Individuals tonight, the work is set before us. God has set a work here for us to do. And we've got a work here to do. Are we going to disappoint God? Has God ever disappointed us? Nope. Oh yes, sometimes we may think he has, because maybe the prayer that I went to him and I've asked him for, that he didn't answer the prayer. But just because he didn't answer it in the way we wanted it answered, you cannot say that he did not answer that prayer. Because see, he was looking after the betterment of you and the betterment of me. Because see, he knows what's down the road. He knows what we're going to have to face tomorrow. And what we're going to have to face the next day. He knows what we're going to have to face the days to come. Because we still have not went through nothing yet compared to what we're going to go through. We're not going through no 3.5 years or 7 years tribulation. We're not going through that. Thank the Lord God Almighty for that. I ain't going to have to worry about that. But I'll tell you one thing. Before it gets down to that point, we as Christians are going to think that we're going through some of it. We haven't seen no hard times yet. We haven't seen some things take place yet. Oh yeah, I mean everything has changed all around us today. If each and every one of your parents could come back today to the United States with any health that they got, they would not believe it. They could not believe what's going on. And that's basically what Caleb is telling Moses. Says, Moses, you really don't know what's going on, Moses. But I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you my wholehearted. Because that's what he says his name is. That's the name Caleb. That's what it means, is wholehearted. You know what that means, wholehearted? That means it's coming not from his mind, not from what he saw, or not from what he felt, but it's coming with a broken heart. Wholehearted. His heart was broken. And I no doubt each and every one of our hearts is broken today because of what's recently happened. But you know, we cannot focus on that. We cannot focus on that. You know what we need to be focused on now? Is winning more and more people to the Lord. We need to do what we can to win them to the Lord, because we never know. They could be right here in the vicinity of the thorn of the rock where this church is at, where that soul is, that's going to complete the bride. That is going to be the veil that bride puts on. It's going to complete the bride of Christ. It's going to complete the body of Christ. Complete the church. And when that's completed, as soon as that's completed, I got to thinking about that one day. I got to thinking about that. That individual, that last soul that gets in, as soon as they says, "Lord Jesus, save my soul. Come into my heart. And be the Lord of my life." Have you ever thought about this? They're going to be the only individual that's going to enter into portals of glory with a purified heart. Because they're going to have no time to sin. Because they're going to always get up, and probably before they even get up off their from their knees, they're going to be, whoo! They're going to be there. I thought about that, and I just wondered, you know, because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But you know what I think it's speaking about? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not speaking just to the Christian. That is speaking to every living soul, even that last soul. And I got to thinking again about it one day, and I said, you know, I know Jesus cleanses the heart and applies the blood to the life. And once the blood's been applied to your life, the Father cannot look down on us and see no sin. Right? The Father cannot look down on us, and the Father cannot look down on you. Say, you got sin in your life. The Father cannot do that. The Holy Spirit can do that. The Holy Spirit will convict you again of the sin that you committed and will bring you to the point that you need to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for it. But unto the Father, what does the Father say? I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. Where's the blood of Jesus? What does that mean? That I got on the garment of salvation. I've got on the righteousness of God. And speaking about the garments and everything, and I still hadn't finished or nothing, and I've been working on it for several years now. And it'd be some months I don't even go back and work on it anymore. Then the Lord will speak to me, and I'll go back, and I may jot down just a word or two down there. But what the message is going to be about, the three crosses. The three crosses. Now, you know, even today, you can't even go out and find anybody or go anybody's house and see today where that they have clotheslines, an outside clothesline. Because everybody's got a drive. And maybe some of you may have a clothesline in your backyard or somewhere like that. But that's what I'm going to preach about. Because I'm going to have the three crosses is the three clotheslines. And how many of you have seen any times past? You see a clothesline, they'll have two posts up there, and they have a post there and have a cross in it. And then they'll have the lines running from one cross to the other, or one post to the other, and have two lines, right? But then you'll always have, it look like something, a makeshift. Some of them would even have a tree limb out here that they've cut off, and they just
took it and put it in the middle to where it would hold it up. Because you could go out there and put it up today and you could stretch it tight. You could put clothes on it today and this week and next week. But if you kept on putting them on there within a certain time frame, if you didn't watch, you'd have a sag in it. It'd be falling down, wouldn't it?
I ain't gonna give you no more. Well, I ain't finna. But Caleb here. Caleb was a man of character. His career did not end with disappointment or failure. But his career stayed on track with the character that he had. See, character will bring about honesty. Not just honesty to the people that are around you, but it'll bring you to the point that you'll be honest with God. And that's who we need to be honest with. I mean, if people just knew how the other Christians would feel if they would just come into God's house, and if it won't save, just come down to an old-fashioned altar and trust Jesus as a Savior. If it's a morning service or a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night, but come. It makes the people, it impresses the people that, hey, God's still in the soul-saving business. But then, but you know where the church lets us down and where we let the individual down? Is after they come to church, after they get saved. We may not come out and verbally say it, but we do say it in our actions. Because we don't know, we'll pick up the phone, we won't call them and say, if you ever need anybody to talk to, give me a call. If it's anything in the Bible you don't understand, you can call me. If I don't understand it, we'll get the preacher. We'll get somebody else to help you. We need to be in it together. Because see, they're a new convert. They're a new baby. They're a new child of God. And they need to be fed. And how they fed. We don't give them, we don't tell them, we say, well, you got to start reading over the book of Genesis. Or the book of Exodus or Leviticus. Well, when they start reading through Genesis, time to get through to reading Genesis, which there's a whole lot of history in that. But then they get into Exodus, and then they get into Leviticus and Numbers and all of them. And when they get to Leviticus, they're going to be so confused. Because they want to try their very best to live by that Bible. But see, we haven't taught them. We didn't tell them, if you go to the Old Testament, you're going to have to live under the law. We're not living under the law. We're living under grace. This day and time that we're living in, it's the New Testament church. And we need to let people know that they need to start somewhere. in New Testament.
And I always like to tell them to start in the book of John. Start reading the book of John. Then after you read the book of John, I say, then you can go to Acts, and then you can go to Romans.
And then if you want to, then you can go back to Matthew. But you need to read the New Testament first. Now I know that when they get to the book of Revelations, they're going to really be confused. Because things just went on that happened that John has pinned down in the book of Revelation. For us, has not come about yet. From the fourth chapter, in the verse 2 or 3, there to the end of the book hasn't happened yet. But we must tell them why they must start, and we must be an encouragement to them. We must call them, and then you will be surprised. If you call them one time, you'll say, you know, the Lord laid it on my heart that I just really need to go and visit these neighbors of ours up the road or something.
It says, but you know, I don't really want to go by myself. That's what we need to teach them, that they must not go by themselves. They must go two by two. Because today, that's the reason so many preachers today gets in trouble. Because they just take it on their own to go out here and visit somebody. Yes, they have good intentions. But good intentions can harm you sometimes if you don't watch it. I mean, I know plenty of preachers and evangelists that have done that, and yes, some of them had not done what the other individuals had said, but yet, it was just somebody went by a house that the preacher was visiting, and they went in the house. And they said, well, I know who lives there. I know the husband. I know the husband. He ain't there. He's at work. Well, the husband could have been sick that day. See, we always need to take somebody with us so we can keep our testimony, so we can keep our character. And so people can see, you know, he's a true man. He's honest. He's not going to do anything to hurt his reputation. See, that's all we have is a testimony and a character. That's all we have. And if we lose our testimony, one split second, all it takes, can lose. It means we can lose for years and years testimony and a good character. Why? Because we was doing something meaningful and doing it for the Lord. We had all good intentions in doing it and just going and visiting the people and inviting them to church or talking to them about if they're saved or not. Good intentions. But I had James Hughes, the dear brother, he's gone on now to be with the Lord. He's up in heaven right today. He's the one that come to my house on that Monday afternoon at 4:15 to
around 7 o'clock, it was about 7:15 that night, the second Monday night in August of 1980. He's the one that come and led me to the Lord. And he taught me, he didn't say anything to me that night. But the next Sunday, I didn't go to this Wednesday night. I should have went, but I didn't. But I went to Sunday morning. I went to Sunday school, went to preaching. Went back Sunday night and Wednesday night. But then after the next Monday night, we went on visitation because he asked me if I would go with him. I said, well, what's visitation? We're going to the hospital or we're going to a funeral home? He said, no. He said, we're going out and visit some people. He said, that's what we call visitation. I said, oh, okay. He said, what I want you to do, I just want you to come. You don't have to speak a word because I was still shy. I mean, not if I didn't know you, I couldn't speak to you. I mean, I'd just hang my head down. He told me something that Monday night before we left the church. He said, Brother Dinah, we're going to tell you something tonight. He says, never go by yourself. Never go by yourself. He said, because if you don't go by, if you got somebody with you, you ain't got to worry about somebody else coming up with them. Different story. And he says, on top of that, he said, the Bible teaches us that we must go two by two. He said, but a whole lot of people don't do it today. He said, but we need to do it two by two. And he said, the reason I give people and I tell them that we need to go two by two, because when we get to an individual's house tonight, I'm going to be sitting down talking to them. And if the children are in the house, running around, I want you to get over with the children. I want you to keep the children occupied. Because the children can hinder the spirit also. They don't mean to, because they're children. But he says, just remember, you need another individual to go with you. You want to call it babysitting? Fine, call it babysitting. But we have to do what we have to do. And he taught me that, and I learned from that. And I see that right here in Caleb's life. Not just in this one chapter, but in Caleb's life. Caleb, not only did he have character, and with that character, he had a testimony. And with that testimony, brought about honesty. He was honest. He knew that the people around him knew that if he told them something, they didn't have to go check it out. They knew what he said was the gospel. Because he would not lie for Moses. He would not lie for nobody else. Because he knew that one day he was going to have to answer to God. But not only was he honest, but in verse 8 it says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. He made the heart of the people melt. With what? With his charitable. He was an individual that loved people. He was an individual that was willing to give his self out for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to give ourselves out because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us? Are we willing to just sell out? Are we willing to say, well, God, here I am. You know what I am from the head, from the top of my head to the bottom of my soul. You know what I am? You take it and you use it. I'll go and I'll do and I'll say what you want me to say. Have you ever asked God for that? Have you? That's what we need to do. And I think if we really would be honest with ourselves, that when we do that, we will know what to do. Because see, God wants to give us all something to do. And you know something? He wants to bless us as we're doing it. I thank the Lord for all the blessings He's provided for me. And for my family, my wife and my daughter. I have not deserved any of His blessings at all. I have not deserved one of His promises. But I'm so thankful that the God that I serve does not lie. But the God, with the little G, the people out here serving, He's going to lie to them. And the people that they hang around with is going to lie to them. We just need to get back in tune with God. How do we get back in tune with God? I say when we come into the church house, we need to do this. Take both a finger from each hand and put it right at her ear and twist it like that. You say, preacher, what are you doing? Turn on spiritual hearing aid. Because all of us that is saved by the grace of God, we have a spiritual hearing aid to where we can hear the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. He has given us that. And He has also given us a spiritual eyesight to where we can imagine and maybe see what He may look like. Which we can find Him all of what He may look like. And what all of heaven may be. But when we get there, none of us is going to be right. Because it's going to be beautiful. I mean, just, I ain't just talking about just imagine what my little old mansion is going to be like when I get to heaven. It's going to be a mansion. It's not going to be no room. It's going to be a mansion. But, you know, even if he said, if he even calls it a mansion, if it ends up being just a one room, a one room little cabin, then glory. To me, it's still going to be a mansion. It's not going to be no room. But can you imagine with all of that, with all the beauty, with all the beauty,
And with all the 12 manna fruits that there's going to be there for us to feast upon. Can you just imagine this? And where we can remember where we was at when we first got saved. And yes, we can, hey, we're going to be able to remember all the things. I think we will remember it all. That's me. But don't, you know, hey, don't mess up me. I mean, I'm having a good time and thinking about what heaven's going to be like. But you know, for me, to when I get there, I'm going to be able to stroll down that main street of glory. And guess what? I'm not even able to wear these shoes down there. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a glorified feet. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to be looking. Man, ain't that gold down there pretty? Ain't this floor down here pretty? Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, we're going to be walking on pure gold. Unlike transparent glass. Some of these songs that we sing, and they sing out here talking about the streets of gold. Say they're paved with gold. No, they ain't paved with gold. They ain't paved with gold. That right there was created and laid by God Himself. He just spoke it into existence. And in 12 manna of fruit. I know the 12 manna of fruit speaks about the 12 different tribes. I understand that. But have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about it this way? We have January. Got a manna of fruit for January. Which I know, you know, we ain't that way when we get down. But just think about it down here. We're going to have a different fruit for every month. We can look at it that way. But when we get there, it's going to be a whole lot more of that. We're going to be able to go and sit down at the supper table. And you know who's going to be my waitress? The Lord Jesus Christ. And you would tell you what? And he'll come around and he'll say, well, sir, what would you like to have to eat tonight? Well, sir, and what else would you like to drink tonight? No. He's going to know it. And he's going to bring me exactly what I need. Exactly what I need. That's who's going to serve me. The Son of God. Amen. Praise God. Everyone stand, eyes closed. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this evening. And Father, we thank you for Caleb, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for what he means to us, God. And Father, he's a wholehearted individual. He's an honest individual. And Father, he's been devoted unto thee, Father. And Lord, we need to be devoted unto you. And Lord God, we know, Father, that not only that, he's just a charitable one. He gives unto the people. He gives his heart unto the people. And Father, he loves the people. He has a character and he has a testimony. And Father, that's what I want. I want to have a good character and I want to have a good testimony in where I go and what I do, Father. I pray, Lord Jesus, that I can have an honest conversation with people, and I can be honest to people. We don't have to have lawyers involved today. We don't have to have where people has come up and they've drawn up papers, and whether when they draw up papers that they have to have four or five people around you that they have to be that or witness the signing and have it notarized and have it maybe put in the courthouse and have the lawyers involved in it. No, we don't have to do that. All we have to do is just do them three things like Caleb done. Caleb had a good character. He had character that standed with God. And he also had a testimony where he loved God and he was going to follow God. And then he was an honest individual. And if we have all them three things, we don't have to worry about depending on somebody else looking at our signature. Because Father, you've already looked at the signature that we've already planned, Father. And I know, Lord Jesus, is this day and time that we're living in, before you do anything, you have to get lawyers involved. You have to get no republics involved and all of that. I understand all of that, Lord. But that's the law of the land. And Father, and I know what the Bible says, and speaking of the law of the land, that we must obey the law of the land. Father, but as we obey it, Father, oh God, we are still broken. And we are still mourning for the loss of the country that we so graciously knew 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that has just got away from you. They just don't trust you anymore. They don't want to believe in you. But Father, I do thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. And I thank you, God, the Father, that you sent me this way to Faith Baptist Church. For these people, God, and I love them. And my little wife loves them also. She's told me. And Father, I thank and I hope they all love me. I believe they do. And Father, we just want to ask, Lord, that you just help us together to be in one accord. And Father, we stay in one accord when we come to the house of the Lord, or even when we leave, we can still be in one accord. And we can be from one street to another street, or one part of the city, another part, we can still be in accord. Father, we want to thank you for that. Thank you for thy love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.